Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. You can hear us on the radio from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, the whole show all over again on the iHeart app. John and Ken on demand is the podcast.
We'll relive the brilliance.
Yes, and there's been quite a bit of brilliance already that maybe you missed out on. Oh, listen to it, make it a John and Ken weekend special, right? Listen to the podcast on the weekend.
That's right. Well, you're nude in the hot tub.
That's right. John and Ken on Saturday, John and Ken on Sunday.
The El Segundo Times has a columnist, I think we've mentioned her a few times, Rachel Urenga. This time, her assignment was to speak to people who work on the metro system, metro workers and ambassadors, those people, about reviving writers who have overdosed on opioids. They're not writers. They're just...
they're vagrants.
they're what we call loiterers. Yeah. She starts the story with, walking along a rail platform, a veteran transit worker spotted a package of the opioid overdose reversing drug Naxalone, picked it up and slipped it into his vest. He couldn't imagine that he would use the medicine less than 2 hours later. But looking back on that evening, it shouldn't have been a surprise. The synthetic opioid fentanyl is killing about 4 people a day in the county. Its reach has stretched from classrooms to Beverly Hills homes, and it has plagued Skid Row and upended families across the region. This paragraph is a keeper by Rachel Urenga. Inside train stations, one of the few free indoor spaces for those living on the margins. That was fantastic.
Living on the margins.
So this is the excuse and the explanation. It's one of their few free indoor spaces because they live on the margins.
Well, maybe if they weren't taking fentanyl, they wouldn't be living on the margins. Now they're dying on the margins. Good.
Paramedics rush past commuters to platforms and train cabs to try to revive drug users who push too close to the edge or past it. The transit worker saw so many overdoses, he began going to a clinic on his way to work to get more doses of Narcan. Metro has no clear policy on whether its workers can administer the drug, he said, but he couldn't bear to watch people die needlessly. In 15 months, he says, he's revived 21 people. Now, this Metro worker is not named because they're not allowed to speak to the media.
And he took photographs.
Yes.
They had time-stamped photographs, and they had witnesses, and the Times verified most of the claims. He really has done this. But over once a month, he revives somebody who's about to die with this Narcan.
Now, he says here that 5 months into the year, at least 35 people have died in the metro system. The causes of death are still under investigation, but most are probably...
They're not.
Well, you could say overdoses, but, you know, the better word for it really is poisoning, because in many cases, people didn't really request fentanyl. They were looking for some other drug like Percocet or something, and it got laced with fentanyl and killed them. I don't know about the homeless people, but that was the case, as we've talked about with... many other people who acquire their drugs through social media.
So 35 people. I swear, I really am starting to think that the new plan is just to let them die, that fentanyl overdoses will take care of the homeless mess. I bet you that's what they joke about in all these nonprofit offices and all the government offices. It's like, hey, don't sweat it. They're all on fentanyl. They're all going to die in a few months.
Yeah, but if they die, that shrinks up their business. That drives up their business, right? Didn't you always say they have to rely on more and more addicts and people living so they can continue to milk it?
They're coming by the busloads every day here. They're not trying to help anybody. I have to look at what their execution here. They're not getting people off the streets. People are dying at a more rapid rate, much more rapid rate now than even 5 years ago. So clearly they don't care. Clearly it doesn't bother them.
Eventually in the article, and here's where you have it's not even a debate, but the opposite viewpoint of the John and Ken show. Ricky Blumenthal is the Associate Dean for Social Justice. Well, that should tell you something. Keck School of Medicine at USC.
That's a ridiculous job. That's not a job. That's another one of those fake social justice warrior jobs. It's nonsense.
He sees the drug use on Metro against a wider backdrop of inequity, where homelessness is growing because rents rise. And there's few discrete spaces to use drugs on the streets. Well, just go to San Francisco. They all do out up there.
That's the traditional prayer that the Times puts into every story. There has to be a pause for the prayer. The prayer against inequity. In some stories, it's a prayer against climate change. They stop the news story for a second, and they go through the litany of buzzwords and catchphrases, whatever we're praying for today in our church of the woke.
I just, whenever I see this, though, my blood boils because I'm like, what about any shred of self-responsibility? Does that ever come up in your thinking that these people have to get their act together in any fashion? And if they can't afford to live in L.A., you go somewhere else. You don't end up flopped on a train overdosing on drugs. How can you possibly excuse that by blaming society? That's just unbelievable.
It's not society's fault. It's what these people did. There's no such thing as inequity if you're willing to get up in the morning and go to work. You're not going to be a billionaire.
And if you can't make ends meet here, you go somewhere where you can. That's what people do. You're in their right minds.
You're in charge of your inequity. They make it sound like there's an inequity cloud that hovers over the city and casts a shadow of shame across all of us. That's nonsense. Most of us have whatever money we have because we worked every day. Or at the very least, we inherited it from our family because somebody in the family did go to work every day. But other than that, that's the only place you can get money from is either working or somebody in the family's working. You have another way? I know they try, you know, to hand out government money, but nobody gets rich off that.
All right.
So I don't understand. What is the second way to get equity in life other than working? Tell me, what is it? In what society did people succeed by not working? When is that a winning plan? Anywhere, at any time in human history? I mean, even in the caveman times, the guys who went out and did the work and gathered the food or killed the wild boar, they brought home food for the family, right? Or they grew their crops. But it was work. May not have been paid in cash, but they got paid in food and kept their family alive. Or they worked, you know, to build their little huts, whether it was a mud hut or they carved out a cave, whatever. But I'm saying work in exchange for some kind of reward. There is no other way. So I see these people in these stories, and it's like, I'm sorry, if you don't believe that these people have to find a path to work, then you're not a serious person. You're just some woke jerk with a fake job.
Well,
who's just spilling gas into the atmosphere.
And of course, she had to find the Metro worker, the one that's remained anonymous, who basically his attitude at the beginning was, hey, they did this to themselves. To be honest, I didn't give a bleep. But of course, she found the right gem of a story. He befriends a 21-year-old struggling with fentanyl addiction. He's got a baby coming along the way.
He's
anxious
baby.
To learn how he can get to rehab. So he befriends him, and of course he dies, and it changes this man completely, the Metro worker, into now wanting to help. She just found the perfect person to interview.
It's totally irrelevant, because all these people that he helped are going to die, including that guy. Oh, and that's a good idea, right? You're having a baby, so why not continue ingesting fentanyl? Yeah, show me the list of successes.
He was expressing the desire to get rehab and change his life, but
expressing desires get you nowhere. You have to go to the rehab clinic. I'm so sick of these stupid phrases. He was expressing a desire. Yeah, but then at the end of the day, he took another hit of fentanyl, didn't he? So what's expressing a desire do for you? Nothing.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Stupid society.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
On the radio from 1 till 4. After 4, get to that iHeart app, John and Ken on demand, the podcast.
All right, and in 1 hour, we'll be hearing from you. Well, a collection of you. It's the Moist Line callers at 320. Right before that, we have a chance once again to talk to our good friend Char Miller. He's Director of Environmental Analysis, a W.M. Keck Professor of Environmental Analysis and History at Pomona College. It's about the Canadian wildfires. And, John, what part does climate change play in those fires, which have been plaguing Canada and, of course, many parts of the U.S. with the wildfire smoke?
That's the other prayer that you have to put in when you're covering natural disasters. You have to stop after about 5 or 6 paragraphs and insert the climate change prayer. And then you can go back to describing the news. Look at it. Look at this. Try this over the next few days. Look at all these articles the way you would look at a religious text. And think back if you went to church as a kid or the synagogue, whatever, and how there were at certain points, you know, I went to a Catholic church, so the priest would give a sermon. They called it a homily in those days. And, you know, there'd be a song or two. And then stop. He'd ask everybody to rise and say a prayer. And it would be the same prayer every week at the same point in the Mass. And that's what all this reminds me of. At the same point in all these articles, we stop and we recite a prayer. Ode to climate change. Ode to diversity and inequity. Whatever it is. Different categories.
Well, we were just talking about a columnist of the El Segundo Times who did a story on Metro workers and ambassadors who are reviving all the drug addicts on the trains with Narcan. Apparently, it's been a rough week for the El Segundo Times, and they're calling it an existential crisis. They laid off 74 people, turned out to be 73, because one person took a voluntary exit, so it didn't count as a layoff. I just thought. So they assigned their senior entertainment writer, interesting, by the name of Meg James, to do a story on how their executive editor met with employees. And it was a raw and angry staff who have been stunned by the announcement of these layoffs. This man's name is Kevin Morita. He accepted responsibility for these really difficult decisions, but then he laid it out there for the people. We're bleeding. Apparently, this Shushong family's invested tens of millions of dollars in the El Segundo Times, and each year they keep coming up shorter and shorter on the revenue end.
It's a money pit. It's a money suck. So Sun Xiong eventually is going to lose his fortune financing the Los Angeles Times. You can't put out all this garbage. I don't call it news, but it's social. It's a social justice warrior blog. I counted this week 7 articles on the front page on the website. 7 of them. About sexuality issues. 7 of them.
They're trying to make the case here in this story that it's happening to all of newspapers.
No.
They're all starved for advertising revenue.
No. Well, let me tell
because
you.
Because the internet is grabbing it all.
Remember you said the other day, LA Times has 500,000 subscribers?
Yeah, that was another
You know what the New York Times has? 9.7 million.
This was digital subscribers.
Digital
right?
subscribers, yeah.
No, New York, a lot of people don't take the print edition anymore.
Well, it's hardly around at all. I can't even find a place to buy it if I wanted to buy it. My point is, New York Times has 9.7 million. The LA Times has 500,000. The New York Times is turning a profit. The LA Times does not have anyone significant reading the call it the paper. They're not reading the news site. They're simply not there. They don't exist.
He said that we've been evaluating the budget since the beginning of the year, trying to create savings, trying to do things to prevent the layoffs, but apparently it wasn't good enough. Now, the most important part of the story, because this is the El Segundo Times, is the breakout. 34 white people were laid off, 39 people of color, which was 19 Latinos, 11 Asian Americans, 4 black people, and 5 employees who said, I'm two or more racist.
That may be the most ridiculous line I've ever seen in an alleged news story. A breakout by race and
ethnicity. Of who got laid off?
Of who got laid off.
Well, because they're committed to newsroom diversity.
But they didn't tell us, were these people any good at their job, or did they all stink? Obviously, they're not needed. So were they not good at their job? I think that's the only criteria, is you get laid off because... Actually, later on, it says, well, they were layoffs based on seniority because that's the union rule.
That is the union rule.
So I guess in recent years, they've added a lot of diversity, except now these people are the first to go. And I wonder, but wait, the thing is, they're not making money because they do not write about news that normal people care about. I look at the page. I do this just as a game I play in the morning. And I look, okay, how many of these articles does a normal person care about? And I go through the whole page. It's like, maybe there's two. And it's race. It's diversity. It's sexuality. It's sexuality. It's race. It's diversity. It's climate change. The police suck. This is stuff that in my entire life, none of this stuff I've ever heard a single normal person bring up, a friend, relative, acquaintance, dinner party conversation, workplace conversation. None of this stuff anybody has ever discussed. And yet every day, and so they wonder why they have a very tiny circulation. They wonder why that Sun Xiang is losing tens of millions of dollars. You don't print stuff that normal people want to read about. None of this is news.
Here's the catch-22. Because you mentioned the few digital subscribers, and you mentioned that there was sort of a seniority basis to this. Apparently, a lot of people in the audience, the employees, wanted to know why so much concentrated the layoffs on audience engagement editors and web producers. They're basically saying you're trying to build the digital audience, but those probably were the younger, less experienced people. And I guess it was a case of LIFO, last in, first out.
I don't know what audience engagement.
Some of these old hack columnists and reporters, you've been seeing their names for years. They get the seniority. They're going to stay.
How many people want to read the same left-wing opinion 5 different ways every day? The same climate change prayer, the same diversity and equity prayer. How many times are you going to read that? And so much is not covered. I mean, here you have a state where they have blown tens of billions of dollars on the high-speed rail train. And ironically, for several years, the LA Times had somebody covering that, and then he left. And since he left, they have no more articles on it. And that is something that I hear people talk about. Whenever they want to make a joke about the government, they make a joke about high-speed rail. That's like a catchphrase for the government sucks, the government wastes money, the government is made up of a bunch of buffoons. Is high-speed rail. It's a punchline now. Well, you know, the LA Times, a real newspaper, like, you know, when I was growing up, they'd be running a crusade constantly, exposing all the corrupt a-holes. They'd have the documents, they'd have the photographs, they'd have the whistleblowers, they'd have the witnesses, they'd be naming names, they'd be showing who's taking money under the table. Nothing. They don't even try. And the billions keep going. Instead, oh, please. Tell me more about people's sexuality. Because if there's one thing I'm dying to know, on Friday night, what are they doing with their private parts? Who are they doing it with? That's what I care about.
More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio 1 till 4 after 4 iHeart app for the John and Ken on demand podcast.
I just heard from Ryan from US Speaks. He wants to know, we're polling California voters. Will you answer a 4-question poll? Area code 443 was his number. I looked it up. The eastern half of the US state of Maryland. Well, that could be a government kind of affiliated worker looking to actually poll people, or could be like a scam or something. I get these occasionally. They want to know. As you said, it's hard to find people now that'll answer any polling questions.
Don't answer anything. But poll.
I'm not going to answer it. No.
Polls are stupid anyway.
And what's tricky about it is it's got like yes, no options. I'm not going to do either.
No.
I'm just afraid if I click any kind of response.
No, it'll unleash a virus and you'll be staring at weird porno for the rest of your life.
Is that what happened to you?
No, I've just heard about it.
Oh, this just in. Karen Bass has COVID. He laughs now. Damn it. You were angry yesterday. I want to get you angry.
She still has it?
She is. She's resting comfortably.
Did they give her another test?
She's.
They should be
working remotely.
She should be working remotely.
That's right. And we'll keep up with all of her tasks.
Yeah, very important tasks.
We're going to talk about the mess California is in with property insurance. Now, we have mentioned that a couple of the big carriers, State Farm and Allstate, have decided not to write any new property insurance policies in the state. If you're already with them, okay, I guess you can stay with them as long as you pay your premiums, but they're not taking on new business.
Yeah.
What does that mean for people that are shopping for the first time for a homeowner's insurance? Bad news, doesn't it? Because the less you have out there selling the insurance, the higher the prices are going to be. And this story in the Mercury News lays it out that we're starting to approach states like Florida when it comes to the average property insurance or homeowners insurance premiums, although we're actually supposedly lower than the U.S. average.
Oh, I know firsthand, because insurance now for our place up by the lake, much more difficult, much more expensive to get.
Oh, and it should be. Isn't that fire territory?
It is. Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, you know, and it's annoying. Because there's so many companies not writing policies for the area. And then right. you get the bill. It's like, oh, man. But I understand. It's,
we're not bad. We're in the middle. We're listed 24th for average homeowners premiums, $1,241. But over the last 10 years, it has risen by 28%.
Well, it's the average.
Florida is by far number one because of the hurricanes. They're followed by Oklahoma, Louisiana, Texas. Those are twister states.
Well, the average is very important because the places that are fire prone are way, way, way up. You know, if you're living in the middle of the San Fernando Valley, you're not in danger of having fire rip through you.
Yes, but unfortunately, if they pay out a lot because of fires, they have to somehow make up the money elsewhere or else in the case of State Farm and Allstate, just not write the new business because they just can't take on anything else because of the risks.
Yeah, right now they're going after the people who live directly in the fire zones.
Right.
Because even on the west side, we're in an adjacent fire zone. I mean, we're south of Sunset, right? But north of Sunset is the Santa Monica Mountains. And remember a few years ago, I forgot what year it was, 2017 maybe, there was a big fire. Remember Mark Thompson got chased out of his house?
Yeah.
Well, we live below that across Sunset. So if you're across Sunset, you're in a cheaper fire zone area, but it's still a premium to get insurance because all you need is one ember coming flying out of the San Bernardino Mountains, crossing Sunset and landing on a house in a regular flat neighborhood, and it could spread easily if the winds are blowing.
Well, the way this story is written, and of course, California had Prop 103 passed in 1988. It rolled back rates and required insurers to get state approval for increases. The insurance companies say that's just kept prices too low. They point to state policies that don't allow them to base rates on projected risk, such as potential climate change-related catastrophes. And they cannot pass on costs of reinsurance policies they buy in the global markets to cover their own losses when payouts exceed premiums. Because apparently, back in 2018, and one expert in the story says that's when everything changed. Remember the campfire? Destroyed the town of Paradise and killed, I think, over 50 people. The payouts there were enormous for these insurance companies. Of California's 20 most destructive wildfires, 13 have happened since 2017.
Right. And that's because...
So this digs into their reserves. They build up reserves thanks to all the money they collect in your premiums. But then with all these payouts, 2017 and 2018, says here, wiped out nearly almost all their profits.
And it goes back to the corruption of companies like PG&E and SoCal Edison bribing Sacramento politicians. There's no oversight on how they're maintaining their infrastructure.
Right.
And then electrical wires fall and they ignite the brush. And next thing you know, the town of Paradise is gone. And that was hundreds and hundreds of homes. And 85 people died. And every one of those homes and every one of those lives, you know, that was a multi-million dollar lawsuit. And that's because PG&E was run by a bunch of greedy, disgusting bastard executives, many of whom quit and had multi-million dollar parachutes. So they're living well still. And you had all this tragedy up in Paradise. Now the rest of the state has to pay for it in insurance increases, or we go without insurance.
Yeah, that's what some people apparently have to do. It says in the story that this is affecting everybody, not just people who live in the high-risk areas, that rates are going up for everybody. And I just got my new homeowners, and I stared at it for a moment. I'm like, well, that's a pretty big increase from last year.
Yeah, and now you want a suggestion? Maybe the Sun Xiangs want a suggestion. Why don't you do an extensive series on the corruption between the energy companies and the politicians, which now led to this insurance crisis, instead of running your climate change prayer every time there's a wildfire? Why don't you bring us informative news so you know who to blame for our ridiculous insurance bills?
All right, we got more coming up. It's the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Yeah, well, we'll be talking about the Canadian wildfires coming up after the news at 3 o'clock, and in particular, climate change or bad forest management. Sounds familiar? Had the same debate in California a few years back, actually for many years, but back in 2018 and 2020 when wildfires were raging, it was much the discussion points about what's causing them to become more destructive than ever. We'll get into this after the news at 3 o'clock with our guest, Char Miller from Pomona College. That'll be followed by the Moist Line, round one, and then later in the hour, round two, and we got a hack for the dumpster in between. There, I had picked it. I'm only going to take a minute on this. An El Segundo Times story, particularly for the earthquake lady. John, do you see it about the Salton Sea?
Yes.
You know, well, this is the thing. I read it, and I read it twice. I said, well, it's kind of a nothing burger because the headline was tempting.
But you could still scare Deborah with it.
It was going to make her root for drought because the essence of it was basically when there's more water there, particularly a particular lake down there, we tend to have a better shot at the big one, which could kill.
Did you understand the story?
No, it got very technical. But by the end, one of the experts in it just said the takeaway should not be here if the lake is full that we're going to have the big one. That's not the takeaway. And I'm like, well then what was the point of it?
Then let's just drain the lake halfway so that we lessen our chances.
He was saying something like it may just delay it, but we're going to have the big one. We're going to have it.
There's apparently a coincidence where they have earthquakes when the lake is full. Not only this one, but other ancient lakes that have disappeared.
There seems to be a correlation, right?
There seems. I don't really understand that. That's why it was. Is it the weight of the water?
I don't know.
Does it
something with the tectonic plates, or
all the rain that would cause a lake to fill up?
And the one thing I wanted to know, and I didn't see it, maybe you did, is it the lake full now since we had a pretty wet winter? Is it so? Should Deborah Mark be scared? I'm asking her.
You mean the Salton Sea?
And that lake that's in that story. There's a particular lake that they were referring
lake,
to. Lake Kahuila. Kahuila, yeah, whatever.
Is it full?
I couldn't find that out, but that's why I kind of found the article to be a nothing burger, because in the end, it's going to happen. But it could be 100 years from now.
So. Yeah, I don't care about 100 years from now. But seriously, if there is a possibility that we lessen the chances of a big earthquake, then I think forget the lakes. Let's just get rid of all lakes.
But I think the point is drought may be good, you see, in that particular
yes,
case.
Yes, I'd rather take the drought. One. Yes, I would rather have a drought than have to deal with a big earthquake.
Yeah, see?
I will say that the subject matter was too much for the writer because he wasn't a Rong Gong Lin II.
Yeah, he was the COVID-19 guy for 3 years. Yeah, they got to have another assignment now.
Yeah, so I guess he's the hysteria writer because this is supposed to whip up fear of an earthquake and also a fear of drought, right?
I guess so. Yeah, you're right.
It's like a twofer. And I'm thinking, well, all right, the drought's over. And there isn't anything we can do about this stuff. I mean, this is kind of interesting if you're taking a college-level science class about the relationship between, and I don't know if there is one. I couldn't figure it out because the story was so confusing.
But it taps into something a lot of people want, including your little news friend there, some sort of a way to understand and predict when the big one's going to hit.
Right, so we can do something about it.
Anything to do with the water and the lake.
Right? All right, but here's a quote from Bell Filibogian, a research geologist with the U.S. Geological Survey. Well, even if this ancient lake Kahuila or the Salton Sea never existed, these earthquakes would still eventually have happened anyway. Okay? They just happened a little bit sooner than they otherwise would have.
Yeah, that's the word to use, sooner. A little bit sooner.
Due to the influence of filling and the emptying of the lakes over time. So I guess all that rain filling the lake and then the lake evaporates, that puts pressure on, relieves pressure on the tectonic plates.
So we're still going to have it then, the bottom line.
She says, even if the Salton Sea dries up completely, the next southern San Andreas earthquake is still going to happen. Mm. Well, then what's the point of this?
There is no point.
That's why I said kind of a nothing burger. But on to an animal story for you, Deborah Mark.
Bad one?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, she's going to be anti-self-driving cars. Apparently, a self-driving Google car ran over and killed a little dog in San Francisco.
What?
Yeah. So who do you arrest? An online DMV report said the car by Waymo, Previously, the Google self-driving car project hit a small dog, which did not survive.
So it didn't detect the dog?
No.
A test driver was present in the driver's seat, but the vehicle's automatic driving system was engaged in autonomous mode when this happened.
Well, the test driver was probably watching porn.
I was going to say, couldn't the test driver grab the steering wheel?
Theoretically, yes, but they have to be paying attention.
What? Yeah, they have to be paying attention.
Okay, you have to pay attention.
You see, being a test driver, though, means you're supposed to sit there for hours and hours and hours while the car is tootling around.
But aren't you supposed to be taking, aren't you supposed to be paying attention so that you can?
Supposed to be, yeah. Like the.
It sounds here like the dog may have been off the leash and just ran in front of it. So I can't really blame. I mean, if that's.
I blame the test driver.
You're right.
Yes. There's no
name
here.
The system correctly identified the dog, which ran out behind a parked vehicle, but could not stop in time.
Oh.
Well, we send our condolences to the dog's owner.
Oh, that's nice.
I had that story yesterday, John. Did you read it? It was in the pile. We didn't get to it. That people are saying, though, these cars are doing weird things, these self-driving cars in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
That they're really wacky.
It's another overhyped technology, like all this stuff is. That, you know, it's they got it half
right.
What
a shame, because I want to take a nap in the back seat while the car drives me to San Diego. Well,
yeah, and you're going to run over a whole bunch of dogs.
And then we're going to be really pissed at you.
And then there's an earthquake.
And then we're all dead.
You know what I read yesterday? There's 500,000, half a million feral cats in New York City. Half a million stray cats.
In the alleys? What?
Yeah, especially not so much in Manhattan, but in Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx. They live in the alleyways and in abandoned buildings. And they're constantly having sex, constantly multiplying. And they're dying young because the conditions are terrible and they get run over a lot.
Oh.
But it was like a fascinating underworld that a lot of people don't know about, because they said if you live in a high rise in Manhattan, you don't really know what's going on down below or in the other boroughs.
They got to do like a big spaying program and round up those stray cats and just take out the reproductive parts.
Yeah.
Because it's a terrible thing, right, Deborah?
Yeah, and give them lots of love so they can be rehomed.
Well, that's you know what caused this?
What?
Surge? Is people adopting during the pandemic, and then the pandemic was over and it became too much trouble and too much money, and they let them out.
Yeah, that's awful. God.
So that's like the worst story I always see when somebody lets a dog loose on the freeway. I can't believe people do that.
So the cats ran around, had a lot of sex, gave birth to a lot of litters.
You just want to keep saying sex. I have a feeling that's
it's cat sex.
I know.
They can do some good, though, right? They can grab rodents. Can't they get them to track rats and stuff? And wouldn't that help New York with the rat problem with all the cats around?
Yeah. You know what? In the story, it said they're actually not that good at killing rats.
Oh, they're not?
No. I mean, rats tend to avoid cat covens. Oh. Like, it's not their favorite place because they can do damage, but it's just not they don't kill as many rats as you'd like them to. Mostly they're having sex.
Big story this week, of course, is the wildfires that have affected Canada, many burning out of control. And what has happened with the winds is a lot of people in the Northwest, the Northeast, and the Upper Midwest have gotten terrible wildfire smoke. Now some of it's supposed to hit the South. We'll talk about that, but we're also going to talk about the old argument about the causes for these out-of-control wildfires, climate change, bad forest management. Mm-hmm. Our guest is Char Miller from Pomona College. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark, live, the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.